contributions of this individual. First, I want to start by asking you 10 questions. It's an easy quiz because all the answers are this particular individual. First, he was called an apostle in the book of Acts. Second, he helped bring famine relief to the Christians in Judea. Three, he spent time teaching and preaching to the church in Antioch. Four, the Holy Spirit appointed him to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Five, he was used by God to bring many Gentiles into the church. Six, he had a leading role in what is considered the first missionary journey of the church. He supported himself on the missionary journey by earning a living. He went to Jerusalem to gain acceptance from the other apostles for the gospel to go to the Gentiles. And then nine, when religious legalists from Jerusalem came to Antioch teaching circumcision, he vigorously opposed them. You might think you know who this is by now. But number 10, during the first missionary journey, a crowd in Lystra mistook him for Zeus. So you might have been thinking the Apostle Paul would be the answer to these questions. Actually, Paul could be the answer to the first nine, but another person could also be the answer to those nine, and he's also the answer to the tenth. The tenth question says he was mistaken for Zeus in Lystra. So who was mistaken for Zeus? We can read in Acts 14, verse 12. And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermas, because he was the chief speaker. It was Barnabas who accomplished all these deeds with Paul. Barnabas was actually not his given name. His given name was Joseph or Joseph. The apostles named him Barnabas. We can see why in Acts 4, verse 36. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. Barnabas was a Hellenistic Jew, a Levite. He was such an encourager to the brethren that the apostles actually gave him this name. And Barnabas' encouraging attitude had contributed so much to the impact of the early church. We all think of Barnabas as an encourager. When a sermon is given on encouragement, you will always hear Barnabas' name mentioned. But when you read through the life of Barnabas in the book of Acts, it's a very brief history, you realize not only was he an encourager, but he had so many more qualities. From those 10 questions, you realize just how much Barnabas contributed, not only in encouragement, but in also many ways. And we can see why these qualities of Barnabas made him so important to the church. So I want to talk about Barnabas today and encourage us also to develop these qualities that Barnabas had and that can really help making us effective in helping the church grow. First characteristic is the obvious one. Barnabas was an encourager. He encouraged and helped others. He was always thinking of what was best for others and what was best for the church. And that's why the apostles renamed his name to Encourager, the son of encouragement. That word encouragement in Acts 4:36 is the Greek word parakaleos. It means consolation, comfort, solace, also exhortation, admonition, encouragement. The word encouragement means to give courage to someone, bolster them up. You know, this world doesn't have much hope. We all need encouragers like Barnabas. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11 tells us, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. You know, we should build and build each other up and comfort each other. So this message today, I want to read of the many contributions Barnabas had to the church and how all these stem from that encouraging attitude he had. To set the background, I'll start in Acts 2 and pretty much be reading through Acts 15. Acts 2, we read of the beginning of the New Testament church. We can read in this chapter where Peter gave a sermon and 3,000 people were added to the church. Many people were being converted in Jerusalem. The apostles, they weren't rich people. Many of those being converted lived outside of Jerusalem, so they had no homes in Jerusalem. The church was also being persecuted. Many in the poor were in the church were poor and needed assistance. So during this special time, many of those who had land and houses were selling them and giving that to the apostles so they could help the members in the church. And this is where we first meet Barnabas. We don't know when Barnabas actually became associated with the church. Some commentaries will say he was one of the original 70 that Jesus sent out. So we can read now that second quality of Barnabas. We can see that his encouragement is not only in words but in deeds. Barnabas put the needs of the church at the top of the list of his priorities, even above his own needs. We can read in Acts 4, verse 36. Acts 4, verse 36. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He, like many others in the church, sold their property, gave it to the apostles to help support the church and the members. Barnabas here gives us a great example to follow. Are the needs of the church a top priority in my life? This was a special time in the church, so we aren't expected to sell our properties. That I have to ask myself, am I always responding to and trying to help when I see needs in the church? Am I praying for the sick and using my time and resources to help where I can? You know, Christ is the head of the church. We're part of the body. Am I doing and sharing and contributing to the growth of the church? Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So as we continue to read in the book of Acts, the persecution against the church continues. Acts 7 covers the details of the martyrdom of Stephen. The start of Acts 8 tells us who was primarily responsible for this. We're going to read in Acts 8, verse 1, first part. Now Saul was consenting to his death. This is our first introduction to the young man Saul, who was persecuting the church, and he was responsible for the death and imprisonment of church members. So we can read in Acts, verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. And then we can go on and read of Saul's dramatic conversion in Acts 9. And what a dramatic turnaround. After his conversion, Saul preached mightily up in Damascus until his life was threatened, so he came to Jerusalem. But Saul's reputation, it made all of the disciples in Jerusalem fearful of him. Acts 9, verse 26 tells us, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. And you couldn't really blame them. You know, this could be a ruse on Saul's part, in with the apostles and get the name of the church members so he could persecute them later. But then who brought Saul to the apostles? Convinced them of his sincerity. It was Barnabas, the encourager, the comforter, the consoler. We can read in Acts 9, verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Barnabas spoke of Paul's conversion, his sincerity, and the effective preaching he had been doing. So Saul began to speak boldly in Jerusalem. And this made the Hellenistic Jews there want to kill him. So we can read in Acts 9, verse 28. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists. But they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. So that third quality we can recognize in Barnabas, he saw the potential and the fruits in others. Barnabas was able to see the sincerity of Saul, and he believed in his dramatic conversion. He saw the fruits being born by Saul's inspired preaching. So when we look at others, do we see just their faults, their shortcomings, or do we, like Barnabas, see their potential? Do we realize this is a future son of God? Do we speak up on their behalf? Do we seek what is best for them? We can read in Philippians 2, verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only out for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. We previously read in Acts 9, verse 30, that because of the danger Paul was in, the brethren sent Saul to his hometown of Tarsus. And then in Acts 10, God shows Peter that salvation was also available to the Gentiles. Even so, this preaching to the Gentiles started off very slowly. These scattered Christians who were preaching the gospel were only going to the Jews. But there were some Christian men from Cyprus and Cyrene who began to take the gospel to the Hellenists. We can read this in Acts 11, verse 19. Acts 11, verse 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The church in Antioch was growing, and Gentiles were now being added to the church. And when the church in Jerusalem heard about this, they wanted to check it out, just what's going on here. So who did they send to check out? Who did they trust? We can read in Acts 11, verse 22. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he had come and seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. This brings up the next quality of Barnabas. He was trusted by the leaders of the church because of his dedication to the work and his close relationship with God. Barnabas had nothing but a good report to make. Notice that he encouraged them. We can read this in verse 24 about Barnabas, Acts 11, verse 24. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Wouldn't we like that to be written about us? He was a good man or woman, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith. These traits of Barnabas What made him so valuable to the early church? Having members with these traits contribute to a growing church. That's why it said at the end of verse 24, and a great many people were added to the Lord. This church in Antioch is growing. Barnabas, he sees a need for effective ministers to preach and instruct the many new converts in Antioch. Barnabas wanted to see them all succeed, to all reach their full potential. He wanted this church to continue to grow. And then he remembers Saul's dramatic conversion. He saw Saul's potential. He saw the potential of Saul in Damascus and Jerusalem. Meanwhile, Saul, he's languishing in Tarsus. I don't know if they had a church in Tarsus, whether Saul was preaching or not. Saul at this time had not been ordained to establish churches. So he had been in Tarsus for some years. This probably gave Saul time to study the scriptures, be well grounded in the faith. It also developed in Saul the patience to wait for God's time. So now it was that time. We could say Barnabas was the catalyst. We can read this in Acts 11, verse 25. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. You know, God has selected Saul to be the one to take the gospel to the Gentiles. But Saul needed someone to help him grow into the job. So before God called Saul, he called Barnabas to be the one to prepare Paul for his role. Barnabas recognized his calling, encouraging and helping others. So he went to Tarsus and brought Paul back. And here Saul was mentored by Barnabas. They ministered together for a whole year, which brings up another quality of Barnabas. He recognized his calling and his role in the church. Do we recognize why God has called us in the church? Do we seek to use our talents in the church? Do we pursue the ways we can be useful in the church and help fulfill God's calling for us? Are we ready and willing when opportunities present themselves to help and serve others? And it brings another quality of Barnabas. He had a generous spirit and sought to help others. Saul may have learned this empathy from Barnabas. Acts 11, verse 29 tells us, then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Just as Barnabas had sold his land and gave it to the apostles, here he's concerned with helping those who are suffering in the church. Saul was of the same mind, that Barnabas was a good example for him. This generous spirit, helping attitude is something we all need to develop. You know, we're learning the give way of life. It's important to practice that way of life. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, reading this in the New Living Translation, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they shall share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. So if you want to be remembered forever, just be generous. In Acts 13:1, it lists all the leaders in the Antioch church. Acts 13:1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod, and the Tetrarch, and Saul. They're probably listed in the order of their leadership positions or influence in the Antioch church. We see Barnabas is listed first, but we know Saul comes in the last position. This just might be considered he was less influential than the others, or it might just have been a matter of seniority in the church. Regardless, God wanted Barnabas and Saul to be selected to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Acts 13, verse 2, we can read, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." So they immediately went off, and they went on that mission, what's called in commentaries the first missionary journey of Paul. Acts 13, verse 4, we can read, "So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant." So they traveled outside of the area of Galatia. We can see John Mark went with them as an assistant. As they went on and continued their travels, Saul had to deal with a sorcerer. When they begin this journey, they are referred to as Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas taking the lead position. But as we continue to read in Acts 13, verse 6, as Paul deals with this sorcerer, "Now when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, 'O fool of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time.' And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord." We can read here of Saul's inspired preaching, how he convinced this proconsul. Miracles are also occurring. Saul is starting to become the dominant one of the pair. We also read that here he is starting to be called Paul instead of Saul. Since he is dealing mostly with Gentiles, he probably wanted to use his Roman name of Paul. And so they continued on the journey. So we read in Acts 13, verse 13. "Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." We can read here that John Mark just unexpectedly left them at this point. Well, later on we'll read of the importance of this event. But then if we continue reading through Acts 13, we read the inspired sermon of Paul, no longer called Saul, in verses 16 through 41. "Many of the Gentiles believed and were converted. The Jews were envious and expelled them from the region." Paul is coming into his own. He is fulfilling his calling. We can read now, as we read in verse 46, they are now referred to as Paul and Barnabas. And this shows another quality of Barnabas. Barnabas is willing to take the back seat. It helps God's plan and purpose. There was no vanity, no seeking of glory for Barnabas. He helped in preparing Paul to become the chief apostle to the Gentiles. Barnabas, he could recognize someone with more potential and ability and encourage him in that position. Barnabas wanted what was best for the church and the growth of the church. Barnabas' example is something we can all emulate. Do not just seek our own importance, but how we can serve and do what is best for the church. Not glorying over one another, but submitting to one another. As we're told in 1 Peter 5, verse 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Also on this journey, Paul and Barnabas completely turned to just taking the gospel to the Gentiles, since the Jews rejected them. And as they continued this journey, Paul became the chief speaker. We read in Acts 14:12, and Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermas, because he was the chief speaker. And then at the end of this first missionary journey, they returned to Antioch and remained there for a while. Another quality we could see in Barnabas on this journey was he, like Paul, didn't want to burden the brethren with his needs. We know Paul supported himself as a tent maker. Apparently Barnabas supported himself in some way. If Paul records this in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 6, or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? If others are, verse 12, if others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. And then while Paul and Barnabas are at Antioch, we read of another quality of Barnabas. He, like Paul, was willing to protect the brethren. He was willing to stand up to those trying to cause division, teaching doctrines that divide the brethren. When religious legalists from Jerusalem came to Antioch teaching circumcision, he vigorously opposed them. Acts 15:1 tells us, and certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. In verse 2, therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. And we can read on in Acts 15 how this issue is resolved. This issue also highlights another quality of Barnabas. He also, like Paul, followed the authority of the church. They went to Jerusalem so that the apostles and leaders at Jerusalem could resolve this issue. And the apostles could also approve their mission to the Gentiles. So Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch with a ruling from Jerusalem, and they supported that ruling. We can read in Acts 15, verse 30. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. So now what's called Paul's second missionary journey is about to begin. You know, the Bible covers everything, even the bad things that happen. They're recorded for us. So I want to look at an incident that resulted in Paul and Barnabas going their separate ways. We can read this in Acts 15, verse 36. Acts 15, verse 36. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Saul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Sicily, strengthening the churches. You could look at this as a black mark on Barnabas' life. After this incident, nothing else is recorded in Acts about Barnabas. while Paul dominates the rest of the book of Acts. It says that the contention was so sharp that they parted from one another. It would almost make you think they almost came to blows and then angrily stormed off, each going their own way. But this was not an act of rebellion, since neither of them was in charge of the other. Neither left the church in a huff over this incident. You know, not every disagreement means somebody has sinned. There are equals, and they just cannot agree on this issue. Paul and Barnabas were both full of God's Spirit. They were both doing God's work. Both had important reasons for believing they had to proceed in the way that they did. If you look at each one's calling, what they were driven to do, you can see why they each decided the way they did. Paul and Barnabas both had legitimate reasons for their decisions. So I think the fruits of what happened later shows God blessed and supported the work of both men. I don't think they really separated from each other in a huff. Their journeys go to different areas. Maybe I'm speculating, but I would think they sat down together and decided what areas they would each go to. So this dispute actually resulted not in just Paul and Barnabas going out, but they both went with someone else, and they doubled basically the manpower going out to the Gentile world. So the book of Acts continues on to cover Paul because he was the one that was called to the Gentiles. We don't read of Barnabas again not because of this disagreement, because he had a different calling. He was called to support the existing churches and encouraging and supporting the members. He continued to have an effective ministry. Later on, Paul recognized Barnabas had worked effectively with Mark. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, Paul says, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry." Mark was useful in the ministry, and he wrote one of the Gospels. Mark was an effective member of the New Testament church. Probably some of this reason because of encouragement and support that he had from Barnabas. We don't read of any animosity from Paul when he mentions Barnabas later in a verse we read earlier, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? So through it all, Barnabas gives us a great example to follow. So what we want to be, let's all be encouragers. Make the needs of the church a top priority. Look for the potential in others. Be trustworthy. Recognize your calling. Develop a generous spirit. Not exalting ourselves, but being humble. Seek how we can give to others. Be sound in doctrine. Follow church authority as it follows God. Let's strive to do these things, and maybe someday, hopefully, this could be said about us. He was a good man or woman, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith.